Welcome to MotorTradeRadio.com, the internet radio show for the global automotive industry.
In association with MotorTrader. Join us on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn by searching for MotorTradeRadio. Join in the conversation by requesting to be a guest on MotorTradeRadio.com and reach the motor industry in a fresh and engaging way. Motor Trade Radio is sponsored by Carsnip.com. Clever search for everybody. Looking for your next hire? Search no further than In Automotive, the UK's number one job board solely dedicated to the automotive industry. With over 200,000 job seekers registered on the website, they can connect your job with the perfect candidate. Search for In Automotive or call the team on 01772 913 601 to find out how we can help you find your perfect candidate. That's 01772 913 601. In a world that's so well connected, it can be hard to admit that you have no one to talk to, but you're not alone. At Ben, we support people from all ages and backgrounds who feel isolated. If you need a hand to build your confidence and reconnect, you can turn to us. Ben is here to give support for life to the people working in the automotive industry and their families. You can contact us for free, confidential advice online or by phone. Visit www.ben.org.uk or call 08081 311 333.
Hi guys, welcome to today's Motor Trade Radio. It's Saturday the 25th of March and Mr. Philip Nothard is joining us again.
Hi Derek, I'm here again. How are you?
Very well, mate. How's your week
been? Good, good. We're approaching the end of March now, so there's a lot of conversation around pre-registrations. I mean, we've spoke about it this week, haven't we, in terms of, you know, potential opportunities that there may be for dealers with pre-registration cars going forward. There's a lot of activity, and I'm sure there's sales admin up and down the country that are a little bit stressed.
More than usual?
At the minute. More than usual, yeah, as you know. So there's a lot going on in the network at the minute, but we'll watch this unfold and wish the best to everybody for the sort of the last few days of the month as we enter the final week.
Mm-hmm. Interesting to see how the VED changes will impact things starting from next week on the April Fool's Tax, as you've called it.
It is April Fool's Tax, yeah. It's, I mean, obviously, the initial thoughts were that everybody was going to pre-reg the cheaper, the lower CO2 tax cars, you know, the zero or £30 a year level, sub 100 tax vehicles to try and get those cheap for the consumer. But I think there's been a little bit more rethink around that, as to, you know, looking at some of the ones that are actually going to be impacted by the most increase, because it's not just the annual fee of 140, it's that first year registration fee that is impacting a lot of the vehicles. So I think some of them are probably re-looking at that and saying, look, let's reassess what we're going to do and be a little bit more strategic rather than just going for a blanket taxing the cheaper cars. So I don't think it's going to be necessarily a broad brush straight across the whole network. I think it's going to be very brand specific and probably very strategic in terms of what will be registered. But I do know that there is a lot of activity and a lot of conversations already started. But there is a lot of cars still in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean at the minute on ships that people are expecting to tax this month that won't be necessarily on UK shores, so we'll watch that one evolve. You and I have probably had experience of that in our dealer days. Mm-hmm. you've got the tax disc and the it's registered, and all you're doing then is waiting for the car to go with them. But probably less said on that the better.
Yeah, could be a bit of a marketing strategy behind this as well. I mean, you know that I spend quite a bit of time over in Cyprus. and up until 2004, there was no VAT on properties over there. So some of the developers over there still have some of these plots or partial builds that they're advertising as VAT-free properties. Now, you're bearing in mind, this is 13 years ago that this happened, but if there's dealers out there that are switched on enough to have a selection of the cars that still qualify for the old road tax rates, then that could be a bit of a marketing strategy for each of the dealerships going forward as a hook to get people to come in the door.
Yeah, I think there will be. I think, you know, talking with dealers, I think there are a lot of meetings going on around with the marketing departments to see how they can, you know, how they're going to work this one, because, you know, sooner you're going straight into April, you're going to have cash tied up in tactical registered cars, pre-reg cars, however you say it, and they're going to need to find ways of getting that moved into back in the business and get the money back in the bank. Because I think Q2s could be a challenging market for a lot of dealers anyway.
Yeah, totally agree.
So you've had a productive week, I think, with I can only describe it as such a fantastic interview yesterday with Zara Ross from Ben. I mean, I've listened to it twice, and, you know, it's so insightful and you know, it's fantastic in it. I think you opened it up as a fantastic interview and great to have her on the show. But yeah, brilliant interview, that one.
She's a lovely lady and so passionate about the care sector. And that really comes across in the interview. And obviously she's not motor trade background, but she certainly saw the opportunity for taking Ben forward after David Main's retirement and being appointed thereafter. And it is such a fantastic organisation. It's why most of the motor industry is behind it. And it's bizarre that there isn't even that much awareness around what it is that Ben can do. So yesterday I ran a thing on LinkedIn asking quite a lot of my contacts if they would share this with their teams, because at the end of the day it was a lot of work, it was a lot of effort, it was a lot of time that went into that interview. And even if it just makes the difference for one person who's struggling to pick up the phone to Ben and get put back on the right tracks, not only is it going to do their head a lot of good, but it's also going to help their employer, because, you know, it's worse than having a man down when someone's depressed or there's situations in the background, and it could be, you know, grieving a lost partner or family member. There's so many different things that affect people's modern day lives nowadays that being able to pick up the phone and just getting that weight off your shoulders, I think picking up the phone is the hardest part.
To ask
for some help. So that was the main motivation behind it yesterday, is to create as much awareness as we can for Ben and get people to pick up the phone. Ben are in a great financial position nowadays. A lot of the top names in the industry have put their weight behind Ben. So they've got the resources there. What they now need to do is get more people to help.
Exactly. I mean, that's one of the stories that's on Motor Trader this week, isn't it? So I think if we... there's a few other stories that Motor Trader have published this week with a couple of exclusives there. So, shall we move on to
get the headlines stories, we'll
and then we can pick up the Ben one at the end there, and maybe listen a bit more from Zara from yesterday's interview as well.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot to go through. There's some key points that be worth talking about, and I'm sure you've got some views on the interview and some key elements that you want to share as well.
Sure.
So I think the first one is DealerWeb. This probably won't be a surprise to many dealers listening that DealerWeb have said that gap sales fall 6% in 2016 in a stable market. We talked about it last week, didn't we, in terms of the consolidation, and there was the talk about, obviously, ASC were talking about franchise dealers exiting the market and this continual consolidation, and FCA have potentially played a big part in that with their new legislation that hit the gap sales. And you know, they talk about, obviously, the initial downturn in 2015 and that the average purchase price of gap sales dropped in 2015. But I think you and I were talking before the show that it probably wasn't unexpected, that was it, that, you know, the new legislation came in, the new rules, it changed the way the dealers introduced gap sales into the process. and put restrictions on what they could sell it for and how they could sell it and cooling off periods, etc. So I know dealers that initially had a knee-jerk reaction and said, look, it's just easier for me not to be involved with it and walked away from it entirely.
Yeah, there's such a great product gap. I think that's what people, or certainly the FCA, have lost sight of, is that, yeah, okay, maybe it has been a great revenue generator for the dealers and dealer groups, and maybe it has been inflated in value when you compare it to the price that you can get it online for. And I don't think them putting that cooling off period in place was a good move, because they're doing the car buying public a disservice. Maybe if they had capped the amount of margin that you could make on a policy to maybe bring it in line with what's available online, there would have been a lot more of this product sold, and it would have helped people once, you know, if and when the car gets smashed or if the car gets nicked or whatever happens to that vehicle, because it brings the customer straight back into the market again, and then you can sell them another car.
I mean, this was a thing at the time, wasn't it, that, you know, it was the consumer that was actually losing out
from
everything that was done. Because they weren't the dealers that walked away and just says, look, we were not even going to get involved with selling it. We never, you know, would just keep away from it entirely because it was easier for them just to not include it in their sales process because of obviously the increased paperwork and everything else around it. Inevitably, it's the consumer that just didn't get offered it, and it would be them that would lose out, unfortunately. So it was sometimes I think. I don't want to go up against the FCA by any means, but you know, it's this not understanding the industry. It's a lack of knowledge of the industry, and you know, I think they're now, I think the FCA are now getting involved with PCP and PCH in terms of the selling of those products, and it's trying to make sure that they actually understand the products before they start trying to put legislation and regulate them. So it's a, you know, it's a shame really, but I think, you know, the positive side to this is that DealerWeb is saying that that's now starting to stabilise, which shows that the dealers are actually getting used to the new regulations and it's back into the process again, and they've got their heads around what they need to do.
Okay, well, I'll say that the FCA just seems to lack common sense when these things happen.
Yeah, you can say that. And then, unfortunately, we moved away from VW gate and we've entered Dieselgate.
So we've opened up the gates to the field.
Yeah, and which have done a report, and they've been testing real-world testing. They've analysed 278 diesel cars from leading car makers between 2012 and 2016. And they've been testing average NOx emissions alongside the official Euro 5 and more recent Euro 6 limits. And they've sort of published sort of some results. I don't know what your thoughts are on this one.
I mean, that's over the course of 4 years, so you've got older technology getting mixed in modern technology in those four-year periods, which I think is what Renault came out and said. But BMW have certainly come out well on it with their averages, because there were 0.41 grams per kilometre from Euro 5 cars and 0.14 grams per kilometre for Euro 6 cars.
Yeah, and like you say, I think, you know, that, again, you know, it is about this, let's say Renault have said that it's not taken into account improvements throughout the years. You know, in 2012 things have moved on, and the engines are a lot cleaner and a lot better, so yeah, it's I don't know, it's one of these stories that you kind of want to put to bed and move on from. But I think again, we were talking earlier that I was talking to a journalist and they were saying that they just want to move away from it because it seems to be the headlines daily at the minute.
Everybody's getting sick and tired of hearing that.
You know, and there's other things happening at the minute. There's other things that are influencing the consumers and the automotive industry. You know, the price of fuel and the cost of living and everything else that's gone on, and the total cost of ownership of a vehicle moving forward. There's a lot more to talk about at the minute rather than just going back to that old, the diesel issue, because people want to get some of these older diesels off the road. But there is a bigger picture than that.
I still reckon public transport spouts much more CO2 and NOx than any passenger car does.
That's it.
Capita for travelling.
Yeah, you look at the buses, your trucks, and you know your generators and things like that that are hitting that a lot more than what cars are. So it's again,
patch the most.
It's potentially. Yeah. Yeah.
Did I read something about you saying about 10% increase in the cost of driving over the last year?
Yeah, we've been looking at that, and that was sort of what we were leading. I was alluding to just before that. You know, the depreciation a little bit higher than it was last year. Certain vehicles going up in price because of obviously the sterling, and then fuel prices going up as well. So it we looked at the five cheapest cars that were on the road last year in terms of the cheapest to run on a month by month basis over a 3 year period, and then looked at those vehicles a year on, and the most have gone up in pence per mile or pence per month to run. You know, it's not all necessarily bad, because you know the cars were a year older in terms of the life cycle, albeit we were analysing new car to new car, and there were still cheap cars to run, but essentially cars to run is costing the customer more money these days than what it was 12 months ago, predominantly down to fuel prices, an increase in new car price and a slightly heavier depreciation moving forward. So I think there's a lot more that's impacting on the customer's day-to-day living than diesel at the minute in the marketplace.
Did you see that scare story that's come out saying that it'll be cost the average motorist over £1,000 for insurance by, I think it was 2019?
Yeah. I mean, we in terms of our total cost of ownership, we don't include insurance because it's so
variable
to the user. But again, insurance is going up as well. So fuel, new car costs, and insurance is all impacting on the consumer and the day-to-day running and ownership of a vehicle. So I think people need to pay a little bit more attention to that and look into that a little bit more than what they currently are doing at the minute.
Yeah, so a great way for the government to boost its coffers.
Careful, we've got VED first.
Firm that's been very supportive of the podcast, carsnip.com, have announced that they are aiming to continue its growth with the addition of a new pay-per-click PPC marketing product and the appointment of new faces within its digital marketing team. They've appointed a new head of digital for moving the business forward.
Yeah, Peter O'Brien's joined, hasn't he? Has joined the tech startup as head of digital. So I think they've put a promotion, I think, for the dealers at the minute, haven't they? They
started 10p. Off the...
Yeah, so 10p until the 31st of June, and then they're going to be offering dealers at 10% lifetime discount if they sign up before the May the 23rd. So obviously shows that they're expanding and serious about what they're doing in that
and
sector.
Gaining traction.
And taking it easier. Yeah. It's definitely.
And some big names involved as well. Can't say too much at the moment, but yeah, some exciting things happening at Carsnip.
Again, and I think, you know, I think we've spoke to Alistair a few times, haven't we, over the last 12 months, 18 months, and they are taking it fairly steady. They've been very constructive in the way they enter the sector and the way they build the business, don't they? They're not trying to do everything overnight. Mm-hmm. And they're appointing, you know, a little bit at a time in terms of who they bring into the business and what they're doing moving forward. So as they move probably through the stages of investment, at the levels, different levels of investment and gather momentum in the market. So I think that be an interesting year for these guys, I think, moving forward, as we know, for that sector.
Yeah, an exciting tech startup.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, every time I watch Silicon Valley, you ever seen that?
No, I haven't, no.
It's in America, it's on HBO, but here it's on Sky Atlantic, and it just follows a tech startup in Silicon Valley, and honestly, it's one of the funniest programs you'll ever see in your life. And every time I watch it, I just think Alistair and the guys at Carsnip. It's just like the challenges. I'm not making comparisons, but just the challenges that are there when you're starting up a tech startup. I don't think it's as competitive in the UK as it is over there, but it's an absolutely brilliant series. I sat and binged watch series 3 last weekend. Superb.
I'll have to have a, make a note of that one and watch it. I tend to watch like BBC Click and things like that, but I'll have to switch into that one, I think, and see what goes on behind the scenes of people like Carsnip in real world.
That's all the way about.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Alistair will probably correct us on that one.
But I guarantee like that. Right, okay, oh, next. Fantastic. Right, moving on. London Motor Show. Porsche Retail Group signs up. So they're going to be displaying the Panamera, Cayenne, Macan and the 911 in Battersea Park this spring.
Yeah, again, I mean, we've spoken about it a couple of times and this is more of a shout out that get people down to the London Motor Show. It's just proving that there's a lot more people getting involved this year than last year. And we said a couple of times, haven't we, fantastic day, fantastic event. Great that it's in London and it's accessible within the UK. And you know, you got the Porsche Centre, West London going now as well now. So, you know, if you're not signed up to go, get yourself down there. And yeah, I think is it trade previews on the 4th of May, and then it runs over the long weekend. So, a lot of dealers involved, and it is predominantly the dealers that are representing the brands at this. Has he changed the Zeus? The Zenith car? Sorry.
No, still there.
No, it's still there. Okay.
Come on, Curtis, finger it. Yeah. Interesting, though, when you listen to Zara's interview, the black tie event that's on at the London Motor Show is in aid of Ben. So she's saying that you can book tables for that as well. So I think if you head on to ben.org.uk, you'll be able to book tables for it, as well as the SMTA Ben Ball at the Dunblane Hydro.
Yep. We're going
you
to
and
that.
I are going to, yeah.
We are. We're supporting that, so it'd be great. I've not met Zara yet, so it'd be nice to meet her at the event.
Are you up for the skydive challenge? You're going to follow in Dash's footsteps?
I have thought about it a couple of times, but you know, my health might be against that one. We'll see.
What's that? Impacting, hitting the ground suddenly?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. I think I've got enough issues going on at the minute without potentially having that one as the main one.
Here's a challenge. I'll do it if you do it.
Oh, you've already agreed. I heard. I think listening back to that podcast, I think you've already near enough.
I said my arm could be twisted.
Yes, yes. I think Zara's expecting you on that day.
Well, come on.
I'm not committing now. I'd have to check with my doctor.
That's a different one from your diary.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, we'll have a lot. In all honesty, when I watched Dash do it, I thought, in fairness, if Dash can do it, then Ash should be able to do it. I mean, I'm not one for heights.
Yeah.
I'm not by any means. I do, you know, I hate heights. But, you know, if Dash can do it, and he did a fantastic job, maybe it's just something I can do. But I better check with my doctor first, see whether a deaf, blind diabetic type one can do that, or he might just say, do you know what, I won't worry too much about that one.
Yeah, go for it. If you were a dog, we'd put you down, so jump out the plane. Exactly. What you got to worry about?
Yeah, I need to get more involved with Ben, I think.
And then next we've got the Motor Trader interview with Darren Edwards, the CEO of Sittner Group. Now, just as a shout out to Motor Trader, if you want to read the full contents of it, just head over to motortrader.com and you can read quite an in-depth interview that Curtis has pulled off there.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, it's probably too much for us to go through. You know, it is a very good overview of, obviously, you know, the Sittner Group and the car shop acquisition, and putting them as number one in terms of the dealers, you know, and looking at where Darren came from. You know, he's ex-Perry's. I think he's an ex-Perry's body shop technician. Now he's in charge of a £5 billion turnover group. So that's, you know, what more can you say about that? Mm-hmm. But it's worth a read, worth heading over to motortrader.com and having a good read of that interview, because, like you say, it's a fairly in-depth one and covers a lot of areas in terms of their trading position and the role of the acquisition, and a little bit more about, obviously, the Penske Group and what they've done and what they've had planned. So. Mm-hmm. Have a look at that.
Fascinating history behind Sittner. I mean, did you realise it was set up by the two brothers, Alan and Frank Sittner?
Yeah.
Yeah. But did you know that Alan, whose older brother, used to own the club in Liverpool where the Beatles played? Was it the car?
Oh, right. Yeah, did he?
Yeah, I can't remember the name of it now, but yeah, that famous, was it the Cavendish? No.
No, someone would be screaming at the
radio. Guaranteed.
I can know one person that'll probably be screaming at the radio, but anyway. I think it's worth a read, worth going through, having a good look, because it shows where Carshop and Sittners are heading and the Penske group in terms of their international presence as well.
Good stuff. I'm just quickly Googling that because it's bugging me.
Oh, yeah, is that what you...
Cavern, that was it. Cavern Club.
Right.
There you go.
Should have known that one. Yeah, the pub quiz job.
Yeah. And then moving on again, slightly different, but Sittner Group sheds light on future plans for Carshop.
Again, similar, you know, it's connected to the interview and they talk about obviously what the plans are with Jonathan Dunkley, who's the CEO of Carshop, and that they're going to remain in terms of the management structure and the approach that Carshop have had. And you know, I know the Carshop guys, and they are having month-on-month record results. So there's a lot of work going on at the minute at Carshop, and I think we'll see a lot more to come as sort of the processes between the Sittners and Carshop start to merge and start to see the best from both businesses in and going forward. Because it's quite an interesting one where you've seen a franchise group like Sittners buy what is essentially a car supermarket of Carshop. It is probably the first time it's been done, you know, in the UK that's happened, it's particularly on this size. So I think it's again, we might see more. We might see more of these kind of acquisitions where you've got the larger franchise groups getting involved in terms of acquiring supermarkets rather than setting up their own. Because you know, a lot of them do set up their own little supermarket element within their own business.
Yeah, that's a great way to dispose of the trade-ins.
Well, yeah, it does. I mean, you've got your franchise, particularly in the Sittner, with obviously the brands, the marks that they represent, and essentially they wouldn't retail a lot of the parts exchanges that would come in against some of those vehicles, and the car shop gives them the opportunity to keep those vehicles within the business, and gives car shop that opportunity to acquire nice retail part exchanges that would normally they'd have to go out into the marketplace to source and pay buyers' fees and logistic costs, etc., to acquire those cars. So I think again, you may see a change in profile at car shop. It'll, you know, it depend obviously what comes in PX and deals are being done through the franchises of Sittners. So we'll watch that one as it evolves.
Good stuff. And then Ford opens up Vinali brand full UK network. This kind of reminds me of back in the 80s when Ford had the RS centres, and there was only a select, I think it was only about 100 out of the 1,200 or so dealers that they had back at the time.
Yeah. I mean, they're moving this into the sub-branding in all of its 466 UK dealers. So they're talking about, obviously, you've got the latest edition is the Fiesta Vignale, which is
far be it from me. Far be it from me. But did you see the price of that Fiesta?
What, $19,345?
My eyes are still watering seeing that price.
To be fair, the feedback at the minute, when you start looking at some of the ones that are available now, they are a bit of kit and they do look well. So, again, we'll see which way this goes. I mean, they've done okay so far. You know, they've done a reasonable amount of business through the lineup. And again, it gives the Ford network another opportunity, doesn't it? And another revenue stream. It just obviously depends on volume expectations, I suppose, in terms of expectations versus investment that the brand will want.
Mm-hmm. I think they missed the trick by getting rid of the gear badging. That was always in everybody's subconscious that was the top quality, rather than having to reinvent it.
Yeah, be careful, we don't show our age on this one. Yeah. Or the Gear X.
Capri gear.
Yeah. Gear X, that we, yeah, we had all them. Yeah. Granada gears and Sierra gears, and then you had the Gear X with the leather and things like that, wasn't it? I think in the day, yeah. Yeah, I remember all those. Yes, unfortunately, Sierra Sapphires and everything else. Yeah. Just think if we had one of them each, or kept them. Yeah.
Anyway. I was never a great fan of the Sapphire. I always preferred the three-door Cosworth.
Yeah, you're probably a bit of a boy racer, weren't you? I think I preferred the Sapphire, but with a sort of a little bit understated, and but still had the performance behind it. But
you've always acted older than me, though. Even though you're not.
Hey, I'm only days away.
I was going to say happy birthday for next week.
Yeah, on Tuesday, I think it is. Yes, yeah. So you'll have the pleasure of being the same age as me for another 11 months. Yeah.
Okay. Right, let's just replay a little bit of Zara's interview from yesterday. This is the bit we're trying to reiterate to the industry, is that what we're doing is creating four podcasts around the Four Pillars campaigns, one for each one. These are going to be made available to all the manufacturers in the industry, all the dealer groups in the industry, all the suppliers in the industry. So keep an eye out for that. We don't have a time scale on it as yet, but these will be heading over to you guys to share amongst your workforces, and you'll hear the reasons why from Zara coming up now. Obviously, there's a whole range of issues that Ben helps with. Some of them we've already covered there. But you have a fantastic initiative just now called the Four Pillars Campaign. Can you briefly explain to us what those are? Because obviously we're going to go into this further with four separate episodes of the podcast that will go deeply into that. But just as a glossary overview, could you give us a taste of what the campaign looks to achieve?
I guess it's fair to say that every industry in the UK, when it looks at the challenges, it comes down to four big areas. The automotive industry is no different. So a couple of years ago, we did work in Ben on looking at what those areas were, and we came up with this Four Pillars campaign. It divides into the four areas of physical, mental, financial, and social well-being. And all of these areas bring their own unique and difficult challenges, and they're all interconnected, but we have felt at Ben that it's important to focus on these one by one. And so we have been looking at the mental health and well-being campaign, which we launched in November last year with a hats off event, which brought a lot of attention to Ben and to the other organizations that are around supporting people with a range of mental health difficulties. And I suppose what we're trying to do through that campaign was to say it's all right to recognize that mental health issues exist in the workplace, and that as a result of that, people need support and they need to talk about this because it's a reality. It does have an impact at work and at home and all the other areas of life. And the sooner we realize and get alongside and support people, the better, really. So none of us are exempt from mental health. And I think we have heard directly from folk affected by mental health issues as to how helpful it's been that we've kind of surfaced that and acknowledged it across the industry. So we will be taking forward these various campaigns over the next period, highlighting them one by one and looking at the implications. And I think there's a lot of work we can do that sort of bounces off this. And that's where we want to be able to talk to industry organisations to say, how can we help you with this? How can we legitimately talk about it in the place where you work and simply acknowledge that it's a reality?
You're absolutely right that these things are regularly interlinked. Financial troubles can be their own version of mental torture when people can't see a light at the end of the tunnel, and it can lead into darker moods, which then can develop into depression and, you know, many, many other things. So it's a fantastic initiative, and I absolutely take my hat off to you guys for coming up with this in the first place. So do you think of that strategy then? Do you think that will be effective in getting the word out there for Ben?
I mean, like we were saying earlier at the start of the podcast, I mean, those that haven't listened to it, have a listen, because, you know, majority of the people within the automotive industry be aware of Ben, essentially, in some form or another. But when you actually listen to what they are actually involved with, where they've come from, and what they're doing and how they are evolving, I mean, what can you say? You know, if you don't support Ben, then you need to and get involved. I mean, what have they been doing since 1905? They were saying,
yeah, 112 years.
With AJ Wilson, who used to work for Dunlop Tires.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and as Zara said, you know, it's constantly evolving. And new challenges, but at the same time, new opportunities. And as she said, you know, being part of the DNA throughout the automotive industry. So, I mean, what was your take on it? I mean, there's so much in it.
Well, there's an awful lot to Ben. I mean, the fact it costs 12 million quid a year to run is representative of the amount of assistance that they give, because they're not a huge team. Yes, they've got separate parts to the charity whereby you've got the residential care homes, which is available to anybody who's been related to the industry throughout their lifetimes. But it's just mostly the fact that there is that immediate help there for someone who needs it, someone who's struggling. And I think we've maybe all been there at some point, or if you're lucky enough not to have been, you never know in the future, you know, you don't know what life holds. So it's just a fantastic facility to have, and this industry is very, very lucky to have it.
I mean, it's, you know, the point that she made in terms of, what, 3,000 calls last year?
That's 60 a week.
Half of them were a reference to financial problems.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next one was obviously mental health. And for those that don't know, I mean, she does say on the interview that they've got a helpline that's open, what, 8 till 8, I think, at mm-hmm. the minute. And they're looking to extend it into the weekends. Yeah, you know, and they're not... It is more, like you say, it's more than just a charity, isn't it? They are, it's about reach. You know, they talk about adapting people's homes. They talk about respite for family members that are going through issues with a member of the family in the industry. They're working with, what, 700 partners across the, you know, that they've got access to, that they're working with. You just start to realise the scope of what this charity does and what they're involved with.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, proud to support.
Yeah, definitely. And let's say, anybody that's not listened to it, have a listen. You know, it's been out on the media, pushed out as far as we can. If you go to LinkedIn, the article's on there, and as Derek said, he's asked for people to share it and get people aware and get people involved. There's a couple of events coming up in April, and then they've got the Ben Ball back end of the year as well. And there's and obviously, as you said earlier, there's the skydive as well that I'm sure a lot of people will be involved with. I'm not sure Dash will be doing it again. and then obviously we've got the Jeremy doing his swim with his team, and hoping to raise more than Dash, who did, what, 151,000, did you say, in the end? Yeah, you know, really puts it in perspective, doesn't it, of what they get involved with.
There you go. Right, that's us for another week. We'll catch up next week, guys, and enjoy the last few days of March.
Wonderful. All the best for the month end, guys, and I'm sure we'll have plenty to talk about once March is finished.
Good stuff. Catch you again next week, Phil.
Will do. Thanks, guys.
Sign up for our free newsletter at motortraderadio.com.